There you are. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here this morning for the Congregation of Prayer, God for Daily Meditation and Prayer around God's Word. It's Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. We continue our catechesis in the post-resurrection, I guess for lack of a better word, experiences or encounters with Jesus. And today we're finally at Emmaus, and we're going to hear just a few verses, but there's quite a bit going on at Emmaus as to how Jesus would have us receive him, and actually where he would have us receive him. All right. Sorry, my coffee just finished brewing. I had a little powwow this morning before. Didn't have enough time to get it done. Let's see. Anything else? I don't think so. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day, rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, let's pray our Psalm 33 together. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right, let's say our verse together. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Table of duties to civil government. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. All right. So governing authorities is probably one of the, especially for those who are more conservative-minded, probably one of the most difficult teachings for us now in the scriptures. I don't think it's ever been easy. I think what Paul said was probably controversial in his day, because you think he's referring here to Caesar and all those who serve under Caesar. Caesar himself called himself God. So how could we submit to someone who considers himself in the place of God or God himself? Or if any case, a god amongst gods, doesn't actually seem to be all that consequential for Paul. And I don't think it should be all that consequential for us as Christians either. Our problem with civil government is that we actually give them too much authority and too much respect and honor, all right? We should recognize them for the task that they've been given to do, right? Which is to what does he say here? To commend those who do well and to punish those who do wrong, right? All the other things that they do, we can rightfully mock and to maybe complain to them about it or direct them against it. But civil governments have always squandered the wealth and treasure of the nation for stupid pet projects, for example. Okay, this is not anything new. You can even read God's own appointed kings, say Saul or David or Solomon. They do the same, and yet they are the authority whom God has established. All right. Now, it is true that we must obey God rather than men. So that is spoken by the apostle in the book of Acts. So we can certainly acknowledge that. So where they command, where God has forbidden, then we cannot obey. All right. But where they command what God has not commanded or allowed, well, we can chafe at that, of course. But on the other hand, what's the point in disobeying? One of the things that the scriptures have in mind, and then this is carried forward into our doctrine of vocation as Lutherans in our Lutheran confession, is that rebelling against any earthly authority that God has established doesn't usually go well for you. So the pain and suffering and misery that it causes, wars and rumors of wars, these things happen, but the cost is often worse than the life before. And the other thing that we always want to remember is if these authorities are established by God, God can just as easily tear them down. So again, the problem arises when we give to civil authorities more than honor. We give them worship or ultimate deference, even in contradiction to God's word, for example. So we can encourage them, which is what I do. I write letters to our congresspeople and our state legislature and to others to encourage them in the way that God would have them go, right, and discourage them where they go contrary to God's word. Whether they listen to me or not isn't the point, I guess. I mean, I hope that they do, but I don't know that they actually do. But otherwise, what's the point in rebelling? Is it going to make your life better? Well, maybe it will for your children or grandchildren. That's what we say. Well, who knows the future but God, right? Who holds all things in his hand, all right? So if God calls you, what's the famous example? The Muhlenberg brother. It's in the Patriot movie, if you've seen that. It's actually based on a true story. I mean, he's preaching in the pulpit. He takes off his vestments and he puts on his infantry. He has his infantry clothing on underneath, and he goes off to fight in the revolution. All right. So he actually sets aside his preaching task in order to go and to serve to protect the property, liberties, and life of his countrymen against the soldiers. But that's not until they're at the gate, you see. So it's the last resort is that we would take up arms, for example. All right. In any case, civil authority, not a popular subject. Why would we be under the authority of godless rulers, for example? Well, for most of Christian history, this has been true. Even those who call themselves Christians often are not in terms of actual faithfulness to God's word, both in life and moral. All right. So we don't often like the authorities that God established, but that doesn't give us permission to rebel against them without fear, all right? Ultimately, fear of God, but even fear of their reprisal. All right, our first reading today is from Acts chapter 13. We heard Acts chapter 10 yesterday, 13 now. You'll find all sorts of the preaching in the book of Acts to be wholly consistent with each other. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voice of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. And now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for their children, or for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. Also, as it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. The most quoted Psalm in the Bible. All right. So again, reciting or rehearsing the account of Good Friday and Easter, and of course, all the way to Pentecost. Luke 24, picking up where we left off yesterday. Then they drew near to the village, where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Then they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. All right. So what did Jesus seem to be doing as they approached the village of Emmaus, of course, as we heard yesterday? He acted as if he was going to go on a little farther, right? And they argued, or urged him, I should say, to stay with them, for the day was far spent. Abide with me, fast falls the evening tide. Okay. Then these words, he took bread, he blessed and broke it and gave it to them, right? We've heard those words before. It sounds like the Lord's Supper on Maundy Thursday. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, right? Giving thanks or blessing, same idea, right? And then how did the faith of the disciples change after this? Their faith was now directed to the words of his preaching, right? And now his presence in the sacrament, all right? This is important for us when it comes to the Lord's Supper. We don't just hand out the Lord's Supper to those who have not heard the preaching of his word. Jesus is seen in the sacrament only according to his word of promise. So first must be proclaimed the word of promise. The supper is always joined to preaching, the preaching of the gospel, to reveal by the preaching of repentance and forgiveness of sins, the Christ who comes to us on the altar, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So preaching leads you to receive that forgiveness in the supper. All right. Of course, why would their hearts then burn within them? Because the word of Christ. It was the word of Christ to them. All right. Well, they told him not to go out at night, to get off the road, but now their motivations have changed. They run all the way back to Jerusalem that very hour. Figure this is about a 7-minute mile. Doing pretty good there. These are fit disciples. They do a lot of walking, maybe a bit of running. And they tell the other disciples that, that he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. This is a really important term in the book of Luke here at the end, but especially into the book of Acts. So every time the Lord's Supper is celebrated, it's referred to in the book of Acts as the breaking of the bread. It doesn't describe the whole supper because, where's the cup? But neither does sacrament of the altar. That only tells us where we receive it and what it is, a mystery. Or the Lord's Supper. It doesn't tell us the content of the supper. It just tells it comes from the Lord. Holy Communion tells us that we're joined to one another and to Christ, and Christ is joined to bread and wine, maybe. But without that explanation, you would just say, well, it's just a joining together, right? So breaking of the bread is shorthand for what we call the Lord's Supper. So this has been the goal of Jesus preaching and teaching these two disciples along the road, and actually for all the disciples, is that they might believe that the risen Lord comes to us in the supper, in the sacrament, right? So catechesis and preaching, what's its relationship to the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper then? Again, it's through the teaching of God's word that the baptized are brought to repentance and faith in Christ in order that they receive the sacrament to their blessing, all right? So those who have not heard preaching, who have been absent from the church, say, for a time, probably ought not receive the supper until they have heard preaching again, right? So that's certainly been the case. I've had people who have absented, and then they've attended maybe for months or years at a time before they're compelled by faith to receive the sacrament again. And of course, Jesus promises to be with us in the preaching of his word and in his sacrament. Lo, I will be with you always. Baptism, Lord's Supper, sacrament, right? Shouldn't be controversial, but for some reason it is. A lot of Christians have come to believe that they can refine Jesus everywhere but in word and sacrament, in the congregations that he's instituted, or in the means that he's instituted as well, all right? But that's our fundamental confession as Lutherans, that it is enough for us that we agree on the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments according to Christ's institution. That's where the Christian church is. All right. Jesus prevented these disciples from recognizing him because he wanted them to recognize him in the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the scriptures. He wanted to open their eyes to faith. He wanted to convert them so that they would cling to his body and blood, which are given and shed for them for the forgiveness of all their sins. Unbelief and doubt are the biggest enemies of every Christian, even after baptism. The Christian, too, needs to be converted again and again. The goal of Jesus' preaching was the creation and restoration of faith in Christ. The phrase, the breaking of the bread, is Luke's classic phrase for the Lord's Supper. By faith born of the word of God, the disciples of Jesus received him worthily in the Lord's Supper. They believed in their own sin and their need for Christ's redemption. They believed that his death was the full payment for their sins demanded by the law. They believed that his forgiveness was given to them from the Holy Gospel, from the words instituting the sacrament, and by his body and blood given them as a pledge in the sacrament. This is why the divine service always follows the pattern of the Lord's preaching, followed by the Lord's Supper. Through the faithful preaching of the Lord's word, the baptized are brought again to repentance and faith in Christ, that they might receive him in the sacrament to their abundant blessing. All right. Let's sing the first couple stanzas of our hymn for the week. Christ Jesus lay in death strong bands. By the way, that is, I told you this before, the scale is Dorian. Famous songs that use the same scale, different key, but maybe the same scale, is Scarborough Fair, Eleanor Rigby, So What by Miles Davis. That's from Kind of Blue. Oye Como Va by Santana. Wicked Game by Chris Isaak. Riders on the Storm by The Doors. Billie Jean by Michael Jackson. Get Lucky by Daft Punk featuring Pharrell Williams. Mad World by Tears for Fears, Smoke on the Water, Deep Purple, Light My Fire, The Doors, Shakedown Street, Grateful Dead, Nothing Else Matters, Metallica, Loser by Beck. All right, so lots of popular songs there for you that use the same scale. It has that kind of melancholy, but not quite melancholy. It's actually kind of a confident key. All right, so let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, give us civil authorities who will serve with integrity and faithfulness for the maintenance of justice, the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of all those who do well. Grant all Christians faith in your gracious providence, so that we might honor the civic authorities and contribute to the common welfare of our nation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray today for marriage and family, that husbands and wives, parents and children live in ordered harmony according to the Word of God. For parents who must rear their children alone, for our communities and neighborhoods. We also pray this day with the households of our church, that of Wayne and Mary, my family, that family of Tara, and of Lindsay, and of Pauline and Alan, our catechumens, Wyatt, James, Aaliyah, Cole, Lydia, Charlie, Haley, Kimberly, Michaela, and Justin, those who are ill, receiving treatment, or recovering, especially Ralph, Allison, Maria, Joe, Dennis, Brad and Billy Joe, Harriet, Ron, Carol, Mike, Doug, Ruth, Renata, Joan, Sandy, BJ, President Willie, and Phil. Pray for our homebound, Dan, Lenore, Joan, Paul, Dolores, and Pauline. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially that of Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Continue to pray for the, that the Lord would raise up pastors, teachers, and other church workers so that the gospel may go forth, and that he would enable us here to be a part of that work. And we also pray for those grieving, especially the family and friends of both Merlin and Dick. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. That's our congregation prayer for today, Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. It's good to have you with us here. You can join us this evening for divine service at 6:30. We're going to celebrate the Annunciation, which fell on March 25th, but you can transfer it if it's in that last 2 weeks of Lent to the first Monday after the octave of Easter. So that would have been this past Monday. We'll celebrate it tonight. And afterwards, we're going to have adult catechesis for membership, so that we go through the small catechism. Hopefully, we've got two more people that want to join up. These are all coming out of a Wednesday evening service. So if you haven't made a habit of coming on Wednesday, you're missing out. There's a handful of people there that you may not know unless you come. All right. So God be with you all and keep you safe. And we'll see you again in tonight, actually, right? Or in the morning. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.